This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome into the college football semifinal edition of Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and I'll be with you all night long from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. We've got Miami and Ole Miss. The Canes with a touchdown, 36 yards, Malachi Toney, to take the lead 24-19. Now Ole Miss facing a 3rd-and-8 from their own 47, and it looks like we're going to get a timeout potentially here. A timeout called on the field with 4:16 to go. Miami leads 24-19, but Ole Miss, with the way they've been kicking the football today, I know there was a miss earlier. They have a guy who has enough leg, if they can just get him into range, to potentially, well, I guess not right now. They need a touchdown here with 4:16 to go. But if they can score, that could be a weapon in the final 4 minutes and 16 seconds. Sorry, my brain got fried there for just a second. Miami used the timeout. That could be something that they come back to regret. However, if they had a bad defense on the field based on what they were seeing personnel-wise, they could have gotten themselves out of a situation here. Very concerned for Miami. As someone who bet them 16-1 to win the title, I don't like the way the end of the third quarter, fourth quarter has gone, even though they just scored a touchdown, take the lead. Mario Cristobal has lost his mind. He looks a little bit more emotional on the field. And I just think that that then is reflective on the players, and they start to act it like that. They lost a player because of targeting a couple drives ago. And now on 3rd-and-8, they're back out 24-19, Miami with the lead, Ole Miss with the football from their own 47. Let's see what Trinidad Chambliss has up his sleeve. He misses a guy on a slant, and they're saying no flag. That means Ole Miss is going to punt it back. Oh, there's a late flag. It's the Fiesta Bowl. Miami always has late flags at the Fiesta Bowl. You got to be kidding me. Oh, my goodness. And they're saying it's on Miami. Oh. Literally the ref, right on the play, gave the safe call. And then somehow, it was PI. No, he was holding him. It was 100% the right call. That is the correct call. And now Ole Miss gets a new set of downs. They're in plus territory, and they are cooking with a chance to now take the lead on a touchdown. 24-19, Miami in the lead. Miami's laying 2.5. Total in game is 49.5. Here we go. 1st-and-10. Chambliss looking to run, and he's going to get a first down and then some. He's out at about the 25-yard line, and they're in field goal range. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. That total of 49.5, I think about the over right now, right? With 3:34 to go, they're cooking deep in Miami territory. We're at, what, 43 points scored in this game? Yeah, I don't think we're done here. And that's basically a bet that you believe that Ole Miss is going to score. And let's see what they've got. 3:48 to go from the, that's a run, down to about the 24, 23-yard line. Clock's going to move. Keep in mind, this kicker for Ole Miss has been pretty good. I know he missed one earlier, but I've been impressed by the leg. Lucas Carnero, 4 for 5 on the day, hit a 58-yarder. I don't know how many times I've seen a college kicker kick a 58-yarder. I've seen college kickers miss like 20-yarders. So to make a 58-yarder, you got quite a leg here. And the one he missed, it went right off the upright. It could have banked in. It didn't get the right deflection. Chambliss with a touchdown to Quan Wright, the tight end. And Ole Miss is about to go in front. What a freaking game. See, I did not like the attitude of Miami here. I didn't like the way that Cristobal was complaining and yelling at the ref. And you have to imagine, now they're up 1, 25-24. You have to go for 2, and you have to get it if you're Ole Miss. So you have to make it a field goal game, and that is what they're going to do. They're going to leave the offense on the field here. And let's see what they got in their back pocket, because this is what you live for if you're an offensive coordinator. You're at the goal line. What is the thing that you're going to do with the game and the season on the line? Because if you, with 3:13 to go, Miami's able to move the football. They did a fine job in quick time last time out in their last drive to take the lead. 3:13 is plenty to get into field goal range, although I don't trust Miami's kicking game with Carter Davis as much as I trust what Ole Miss is throwing out there. Chambliss converts, it's a pass, and it's caught. 27-24. 3:13 remaining. The Ole Miss Rebels, without Lane Kiffin, are 3 minutes and 13 seconds away of playing for a national championship, while their head coach, Lane Kiffin, the architect of this roster, left to LSU because that was a better opportunity to win a national championship. Man, this is a big ding. For a guy who's had a lot of bad moments in his career, Lane Kiffin, this may be the worst one. This may be worse than getting fired on the tarmac. This may be worse for the way he left Tennessee. This could be the worst thing on Lane Kiffin's resume, which is speaking volumes, people. All right, Ole Miss is a 2.5-point favorite. The in-game total is 57.5, so we are at 51 points. I think under 57.5 is how I would view it right now if I was going to place anything on this game. I have Ole Miss plus 3.5 to hedge some of my futures on Miami. I'll tell you this, I don't feel good about it. I don't feel like Ole Miss here is going to end up covering the 3 if they lose, because they'll let up a touchdown to Miami, which before, I'm not sure I envision overtime. I think Miami, Shannon Dawson at the helm of this offense, Carson Beck, this is why you go out and get a guy who's been as experienced as Beck is. He leaves a little to be desired in terms of the accuracy. But in a game that's had 3 lead changes in the last 5 minutes, I think this is what you pay someone that much money in the portal to come in and take care of. 3:13 to go. You're a kid at home. You're dreaming about being a college, a pro quarterback. This is what you live for, to come up in these spots. And now Miami has to show what they have, because backs against the wall. Favorites in this matchup, usually an underdog. They were an underdog to Ohio State. They are now the favorite role against Ole Miss, and they may let this game fall through their fingertips. So here's the drive, potentially the final one of the game, and Carson Beck goes deep, and he throws it short of his receiver by about 3 yards. So that one was in the dirt, but his guy had a step. And that's the problem with Carson Beck. You know, you watch him throw the football and you're going, oh, it comes off his hand nice. It's a pretty spiral. He's not accurate. So it all looks good until you see the target and where the ball lands. And they're sometimes not in the same spot. So that is an issue. That is definitely an issue if you are a quarterback. And with 3 minutes and 8 seconds to go, Miami's facing a 2nd and 10. And by the way, let's keep in mind, they used the timeout previously on defense, so they are down to 2 timeouts left in this game. Pass to the outside. That is caught. That is a nice catch and a nice throw by Beck. If I'm going to criticize some of the accuracy issues there, I have to give him credit. He put it right on the sidelines. That's going to set up a 3rd and short for Miami. Probably 3rd and 2, it looks like, coming up here. So a big play coming for the Canes. Season on the line. Down by 3. And you got to give a lot of credit to Ole Miss, man. There were moments where you thought Miami was going to run away, and they dominated the time of possession, especially early on as Fletcher runs for a 1st down. And we're now at about, where are we, the 43-yard line, heading towards midfield are the Miami Hurricanes. Clock continues to run, 2 minutes and 40 seconds to go. It's a dangerous game you play now if you're a coach. You don't want to leave too much time on the clock, but you also need to make sure you get plays off and you move the ball downfield. Beck's going to take another shot. That's to the tight end, and it's bobbled and out of his hands. Great defense by the safety. He was up in his grill. He was right up against him. As the tight end went to reel it in, it was knocked out before he hit the ground, and that stops the clock at 2:29 to go. It's actually a really good ball by Carson Beck. I mean, it maybe isn't a perfect ball because, you know, the defender's right there, but he put it right on the guy. He just couldn't finish the catch. And in the end, is that 4th down? I believe that's 4th down now. No, I'm sorry, 2nd and 10. They picked up the 1st down with Mark Fletcher. That's right. See, getting all frazzled here. Getting emotional. I'm a Miami fan. I would like them to win this game. 2nd and 10 coming with 2:28 to go. Uh-oh. Halfback screen sniffed out. And you know what? Shamari Brown fought a defender who was on him immediately for a loss and somehow gained 2 or 3 yards on the play. And we're about to get down to the 2-minute warning on a 3rd down. See, Miami should be trying to get a playoff here. I don't like this. All right, 2:08 to go. Clock's moving. Get a playoff. No, they're not going to. They're going to wait for the 2-minute warning, and it's about to be the game. This is going to decide the game, the final 2 minutes. We may not see Ole Miss with the football again unless they force a turnover and they're taking a knee. Basically, Mario Cristobal is saying, we're going to try and win it right now. We're not going to potentially miss it on 3rd or 4th down and stop the clock and all that. So we will see. They're in a commercial break. 2 minutes to go. Ole Miss with the lead, 27-24. And betting-wise, there's not much you can do. If you think Miami's going to win it, you can get plus 195 on the money line. +2.5 is plus 185. So at that point, you might as well just take the plus 195. Ole Miss laying 2.5, but it's minus 245 on the juice there. And your in-game total is 51.5. So I got to tell you, this is I've been pretty pessimistic about this Miami run for a while. I don't trust Mario Cristobal. And this is about as little as I've had faith. I don't. I don't believe they're going to score on this drive. I would love to be wrong. I think they might have used their best stuff early. I think they thought they were going to outclass Ole Miss through the course of four quarters. And credit to the Rebs, man. They kept pushing. They kept fighting. They stayed in this game. They never let go of the rope. And now they're in a really good spot, up by three at the two-minute warning. Profit X, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on college football's national championship and Super Bowl odds. With a huge holiday slate shaping playoff seeding, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of Profit X's 20% purchase match. Download Profit X today and experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSIN to get started over at Profit X. Cashing out, I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. We have got 2 minutes remaining with a trip to the national title on the line. One of these teams will take on either Oregon or Indiana for a chance to hoist the national title trophy. I don't know what it's called anymore. It's not the Crystal Football, I don't believe, although I did love the Crystal Football for the BCS. But either way, one of these teams is 2 minutes away from playing for a national title, unless Miami kicks a field goal and we go to overtime. But I don't know if we're getting overtime here because I don't trust the Miami kicking game. Full disclosure. So stay with us. We will guide you through the end of the Fiesta Bowl, which has been a nightmare for the Canes, at least the last time they were there, taking on Ohio State. This feels like the same omen. Feels like the same vibes. The death of a season may be coming for the Canes. I hope I'm wrong, people. I hope I'm trying to say all the negative stuff to get it out. Maybe the opposite will then end up happening. Who wins? Ole Miss or Miami? Find out next on Cashing Out.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It looked like Malachi Toney had made a circus catch for a first down, correctly ruled out of bounds, but it was like within inches. He went up one-handed, came down on 1 foot. That foot, the toe briefly touched in bounds, but the heel dropped out of bounds. You cannot call that a catch. That will lead to a 3rd and 6, a minute 26 to go for Miami. They only have 2 timeouts remaining. They are at the 42-yard line, I should say, of Ole Miss. They need a few yards to get into field goal range, but I don't really trust their kicking game. They need to get deeper into Ole Miss territory. Not much of a rush. The pass to the outside is caught, and that, I think, is a first down. It looked like a reach for the first down marker, and are they going to give it to him? I believe they are. That is a nice play by the veteran C.J. Daniels, the transfer coming in, played at LSU, played at another stop, too, that I'm missing, but a good player. Really, he's going to be a pro. I don't know what type of pro he's going to be. He's going to be a solid NFL receiver, though. He's going to have a career, and I think that's a first down. I don't think his knee was down before he reached, and they do give him the first down. 1st and 10, 1:15 to go. Miami's at the 36-yard line now of Ole Miss. That is a massive first down conversion. Here's Beck back to the outside. He overthrows Daniels a little bit. That stops the clock with 1:06 to go. Ole Miss is laying 2.5. It's back down to minus 120 juice. Total is 57.5. And here's why the only thing you can look at is the over, which is juiced at minus 154, because if Miami can get into field goal range, that would set up overtime. And then in overtime, the under's going to die. So that is the only thing I'd consider right now. I'm not touching this game. I hedged my future of Miami with an Ole Miss plus 3.5. I didn't make that an official play, but I have to do right by my ticket and hopefully make some money here and make back some of the money I hedged with Ohio State last week in game. Big 2nd and 10 coming, season on the line, 27-24, Ole Miss with the lead over the Miami Hurricanes. Carson Beck doesn't know what to do with the football. He rolls out, and he almost throws an interception. My goodness. You know what? That was a big scare. That could have been it. I can't believe Carson Beck thought he was going to fit it into that window. Threw it to the right side, to the sidelines as he was rolling out, and there was a defender right there. In fact, the ball was closer to hitting the defender than it was hitting his receiver, who ended up going upfield and not seeing it. 3rd and 10. Miami's in 4-down territory. If I'm them, I'm running the football. You've got Mark Fletcher, although Chamari Brown's in the game right now. I would have ran it with Mark Fletcher. I would have ran it right down their throat. They've been unable to stop the run. Fletcher's run all over them today. He has 22 for a buck 33 on the ground. Back in the pocket, over the middle, picks up the first down. Miami is down to about the 17-yard line with under a minute remaining. Ole Miss might need to start using some timeouts. If I'm Ole Miss, if you want to avoid overtime, I would think about it. Although maybe that stops the momentum for you and forces Miami to play hurried. 49 seconds, clock is ticking. I would run it here. Run the football. They are not prepared for you to run the football. Run the football. And they do. And I was wrong. They were prepared, and Carson Beck on a zone read keeps it. Okay, I was dead wrong. I'm a horrible play caller. Do not listen to me. Shannon Dawson, make your own decisions here. That second and down, clock's at 36 seconds. Who just stopped it? That's the question. Who just used the timeout? Miami has two remaining. Ole Miss has all three. What does the market say? It has Miami as a 1.5-point favorite. 59.5 is your in-game total. This is where I get nervous about Mario Cristobal, because sometimes he can just be a little risky with the football. I would not be too aggressive here if I'm Miami. I would want to believe I can win in overtime. Although Trinidad Chambliss, it was a timeout by Ole Miss, by the way. Trinidad Chambliss is a player that would terrify me in overtime just because of the mobility. And you see this a lot of times with offenses. When it gets condensed, the field, and you're working from the 20 the way they are, it's really difficult to operate with your full offensive play because it's staggered to how you normally run your routes. But when you have a mobile quarterback and you can put people on the move after the snap, like with him rolling out as well, it forces the defense to make some decisions, and you're in a really good spot if your quarterback can use his legs. So as a Miami backer at 16-1, I would love for them to score a touchdown here and win this game. But I don't have faith in Cristobal. I think we're looking at a field goal in overtime, potentially. Beck with a play fake, looks over the middle, has a man. Oh, man, that might be down to about the 8-yard line. Does he get the first down? Where are they going to rule this? It looked like he caught it right around or a little bit beyond the first down marker, but then ran back. But was he running back because of contact, or did he release and run backwards? I think it was on contact. I believe that's going to be a first down. That's going to be a first and goal now coming up for Miami. And we're at, 24 seconds to go. Oh, my God. I'm just going to keep being negative here. I'm sorry to do it, but negativity is working for what I want to win, which is Miami 16-1 to win the title. So, by the way, they're going to be huge underdogs to whoever they face. It doesn't really matter. I'm not sure they're capable of beating Oregon or Indiana. I don't think either of these teams are. I was just talking about that on VSiN Live on SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio with Patrick Maher. Like, awesome game. This has been exciting. Both teams came to play. And neither of them are going to win next week, okay? Let's be very clear about that. I don't envision it. This is a heck of a drive from Miami when they need it. You know, they still have to finish it. Let's be clear. I've seen many jobs that Mario Cristobal has left unfinished, okay? But 31 seconds to go, first and goal. You're sitting in a great position. Beck has been a maestro on this drive. And they're the first team in college football playoff history with 4 13-play drives. Think about that. How they're pushing the ball downfield. They're not using just explosives and huge plays. They are just winning at the point of attack on the line of scrimmage. Miami with a run up the middle, and that is Chamari Brown down to about the 3-yard line. Why is it Chamari Brown? He's good, don't get me wrong. And by the way, he's gone over his rushing prop. Chamari Brown's rushing yardage was set at 15 yards, so he's over that. Why is Mark Fletcher not in the game? Mark Fletcher, who, by the way, I think has been in college for like 10 years. Like, I can't believe Mark Fletcher is still on this team. But Mark Fletcher, he's a junior. Why do I feel like Mark Fletcher's been there so much longer? I guess he's been used a lot, and there's a lot of hype with Miami running backs, and he's been pretty consistent over the years. He's only a junior. I'm shocked to see that. I thought we were going to say he was a COVID senior. Second and goal, and Miami uses a timeout. Or maybe it was Ole Miss. No, Miami used a timeout. Jared Moore, my producer. Keep me on top of everything. Thank you very much. Big time, Jared Moore. 24 seconds to go. And we got an Ole Miss D lineman showing the belly. If I played football, I'd let the belly hang out. I mean, the belly just kind of does it on its own, but he's got the cutoff on. Bring back the belly shirt for men. I'm down. I'm down to clown. Belly shirt with some sweatpants on a Saturday. I am all in on that. They're showing the Miami kicker. I don't want it to come down to him kicking a field goal here, even though it's a short one. Remember A&M? Do we remember what went on with this special teams unit at Kyle Field? Couple weeks ago, run the ball. Run it. Run it right up the gut. Second and goal coming up here for Miami. It looks like Shamari Brown's still in at running back. Kind of surprised by that. What are they going to do? They're throwing. I'm terrified. And Beck under pressure. He's going to run. He has an open field. He's in the end zone. Oh, baby. Miami back on top. This has been a tremendous game. It is 30-27, and Carson Beck just ran it in from 3 yards out. 18 seconds remain on the clock. Ole Miss will get the football, and I don't know what they'll be able to do. What a drive by Miami. Another sustaining drive, ending in points. Absolutely impressive performance from Miami. I doubted them pretty much every step of the way. I was wrong. We're over the total. We're now at 57, 58 points. The PAT is good. And Ole Miss can't settle for a field goal. They need a touchdown here. Not good. Not good. It's a four-point game. It's also not good because all my hedges were plus 3.5. So I can't win both of them. That is very unfortunate. But Miami 16-1 lives on to fight another day. So that's the one positive. That is the one positive. And when you're getting ready to watch the national title, or even tomorrow, watching the Peach Bowl, you can get some great buffalo wings from our friends at Omaha Steaks. Football meets flavor with VEASAN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Spend $129. Get 2 pounds of wings and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VEASAN. Minimum purchase required. See site for more details. This is Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network. We're taking through the end of the Fiesta Bowl. Carson Beck just scored a touchdown to take the lead for Miami, 31-27, 18 seconds remaining. Ole Miss is 22-1 on the money line. Miami is minus 10,000 to win this game. Minus 10,000. So it is pretty much over. Miami has exercised the demons of the Fiesta Bowl, where I watched that flag come in late against Ohio State as Jim Tressel, Maurice Claret, and Craig Krenzel celebrated a national title. Now Miami looks like they're going to be victorious there at the Fiesta Bowl, and they will be heading to the national championship. Maybe I'm calling my shot too soon, but Ole Miss with 18 seconds to go, they would have to do some crazy stuff here to pull this thing off. The ball is fair caught, so they will begin. Was that the 25-yard line, I believe? 25-yard line for Ole Miss. This run by Beck was great. He waited for a defender to commit to Tony over the middle, and he saw the entire... There wasn't an Ole Miss defender on the left side of the field, and Beck ran through untouched. That's a great play by Carson Beck, waiting for the play to develop and then finding his opening. And Miami is now 18 seconds away from meeting Oregon or Indiana in the national championship. Find out how the end of this goes, plus a preview of the Peach Bowl coming up next on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final score in Phoenix. Miami Hurricanes 31, the Ole Miss Rebels 27. Mario Cristobal has officially brought the U all the way back. Welcome back into Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're locked into VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Miami scores a touchdown in the final, 40 seconds of this game. And they take the lead over Ole Miss, who is pesky and fighting every step of the way. They just ran out of room, ran out of runway there. As they were driving downfield, they had a chance, threw the ball in the end zone, and unfortunately unable to come down with it. And Miami advances to the national title game, which will be played on January the 19th. I'm assuming that's a Monday. Yep, that is 2 Mondays from this week. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What a game. I mean, when you go back and look at how this thing shook out, Miami dominated in terms of possession, in terms of plays. But Ole Miss, they made the most of their opportunities. That's why they were able to stay in this thing. In case you missed it, things began. Ole Miss had the ball first, a 3-and-out. Miami then went 13 plays, 44 yards, kicked a field goal, but used 7 minutes of 21 seconds. Then there was a couple punts, which brought us to the second quarter with the game 3-0. Ole Miss had a touchdown drive because Lacy broke one off 73 yards for a touchdown for Ole Miss, which, by the way, he went over on his prop as well, as it was set at 79.5 rush yards for Kewon Lacy, and it made the score 7-2-3. He was minus 195 score touchdown. Miami then responded on the next drive. 15 plays, 75 yards, 7 minutes and 41 seconds. Chamar Brown found pay dirt. 10-7. Miami with the lead. He was plus 240 to find the end zone. Mississippi kicked a field goal to make it 10-10. And then Miami scored a touchdown. Keelan Marion from 52 yards out. He was plus 310 to find the end zone. And Miami led 17-10. Ole Miss missed the field goal with 11 seconds remaining from 58 yards. And that resulted in the score being 17-13. I'm sorry, they didn't miss. I wrote miss field goal. They didn't miss the field goal. Ole Miss field goal, 58 yards with 11 seconds left in the half. That made it 17-13 Miami at the half. Third quarter then opened up. Miami missed a field goal on their opening drive. Ole Miss missed a 51-yard field goal following that. Then Ole Miss nails a 54-yarder, which made it 17-16. And that brought us to the fourth quarter, where Ole Miss took the lead. Became a favorite just prior to that field goal on that drive, as they went up 19-17 on that field goal early in the fourth quarter. Carson Beck answered with a Malachi Toney 36-yard hookup for a score. Toney was even money to score a touchdown in this game, which I thought you'd have to lay a price on them, but he was even money just because of the way they use him in the red zone. Chambliss then found his tight end, Daquan Wright, for a 24-yarder that made it 27-24 Ole Miss. And late in the game, Carson Beck with just, 34 seconds, 40 seconds, something like that remaining in the game, ran it in for a score, 24 seconds. 24 seconds left. He scored the go-ahead touchdown, and that made it 31-27. Carson Beck was 4-1 to score a touchdown. Daquan Wright, who I mentioned scored, was plus 285 to get in the end zone, and that's how we got here. Miami wins the Fiesta Bowl. Miami goes to the national title. Miami and the story of everything that's gone on, not just this year, but over the course of more than a decade now, 15-plus years, we're talking about a run where they were the most dominant force in college football. And it completely fell apart. They became irrelevant. They had a lot of hype behind recruits. Jacoby Brissett, Kyle Wright, the five-star. They took Brock Berlin from one of their rivals. They just could never get back to the spot they were atop college football for a very long time. And they tried everything. They tried Randy Shannon. They tried Al Golden. They tried to bring in anyone. Went back to Mark Richt, who had so much success at Georgia. And he got them close. But he couldn't get them quite over the hump. Manny Diaz then took over. They were good. They were not great. Then an opportunity in the new NIL world came across, and they could grab Mario Cristobal, one of their own, one from their legacy years, one who had won national titles, who also spent time coaching under Nick Saban. And they went and brought him from Oregon. And he came home, and he immediately started recruiting and winning the recruiting battle for Miami. And you saw the upside, but you didn't know if there was substance behind it, because Mario Cristobal, for as good as he is as a recruiter, he is the opposite of that as an in-game coach. And many opportunities fell through their fingertips because of that over the course of the last couple seasons. Last year, the expectations were through the roof. They were loaded on defense. They were loaded on offense. They got Cam Ward to come in. They paid him a ton of money. He went on to be the number one pick in the draft. He did not disappoint as a player. The defense, though, left a lot to be desired and basically took them out of being a playoff team a season ago. This year was thought to be a rebuilding year. As they entered the ACC, a lot of people just assumed Clemson would run roughshod over everyone in that league this year. And I did, too. I thought Miami, despite bringing in Carson Beck, I thought there was a lot of young guys that they were going to rely on in this roster, and I wasn't sure they'd be able to reach the heights that they did a year ago and be as good as they were defensively. I was wrong. They are just as good, if not better, this year defensively, or offensively. They have weapons on the outside in Toney and Daniels, who came in, who replaced Restrepo and Arroyo, and really reliable targets for this offense. But you didn't know what you're going to get out of them. And Toney's turned into a superstar. He's a freshman. He's going to have a long career, and they're going to get a couple more years out of him. Carson Beck joined. And it was like, okay, what is Carson Beck? Because at Georgia, you can be a game manager. Can you be that there at Miami? And as the year went on, I thought Carson Beck took steps backwards from the opener at Notre Dame, where he looked amazing. And at one point was one of the top picks for the Heisman, one of the favorites for the Heisman. And in the end, Miami, late in the year, a lot of drama. Should they get into the playoff? Because they weren't going to be playing in their ACC championship game. It was a big conversation here on the network. I did not believe they would get in. I know I sound super negative about the team I root for, but I just didn't see the path. I was taking the College Football Playoff Committee at their word that Miami was going to be out, Notre Dame was going to be in, or maybe the ACC winner was going to be in. In the end, the committee puts them in, and the committee looks justified now. Because Miami, who did have two bad losses, like, let's not get it twisted, they weren't horrible, but, like, they weren't good. Not for a playoff team. Louisville and SMU, those are two teams you should be, at least one of them, right? You shouldn't lose to both of them. But it didn't matter because the committee saw enough in the resume, heard enough of the noise complaining about them being held out of the playoff, and then Miami found themselves going to the College Football Playoff, and they've made the most of it. If you think about the path that they just went on, from thinking they weren't in to then going to Kyle Field and taking down Texas A&M. Texas A&M, a team that a lot of people thought was much better than Miami. Then the defending champion, Ohio State Buckeyes, who were 9.5-point favorites, who I did not think Miami was capable of beating, and they punked them. They didn't just beat them. They pushed them around. They were by far the superior football team. And then that brings us here to the Fiesta Bowl. As Ole Miss gave it their best shot, and Ole Miss playing with a lot of emotion, after all that's gone down for them this offseason with Lane Kiffin leaving, Pete Golden takes over, Trinidad Chambliss goes on an absolute miraculous run here in the playoff, and hopefully he can come back and get a waiver for next year because I want to see more Trinidad Chambliss, but unfortunately for Ole Miss, the run ends here. It ends in the Fiesta Bowl as Miami's victorious, 31-27. They get the dub, they advance to the national title, and they're going to take on either Oregon or Indiana. And I got to tell you, it's for Miami. I've really doubted them every step of the way, and I'm going to doubt them again. I don't know if that's right. I don't know if I'm just sandbagging here because I'm a Miami fan, trying to get into my own psychology at this moment. I don't know why I don't believe, because if I'm going to be fair about what I'm seeing, Mario Cristobal has taken a bit of a step back from trying to be overly involved in what they're doing on the field. It does feel like he's letting his coordinators do what they need to do. And Shannon Dawson offensively is awesome. I mean, it's a very creative offense for them. But more importantly, the defense. Corey Heatherman, who came over from Minnesota, has been a revelation. I trust this defense to keep them in every game because you've got Bain and Mesidor on the outside who can get after any quarterback. But more importantly, I think the thing that flies under the radar with Miami that they don't get enough credit for is they brought in four transfers in their secondary, which was the Achilles heel of this team a year ago. All four of those transfers were multi-year starters from other schools, some of them smaller schools like Jacksonville State and whatnot. But those guys had been through it. They were going to be ready for the moment. And I think you're seeing that now with this team. Miami's a complete team. I don't know about the flash and the upside and the superstardom that you see from other teams. Like Malachi Toney's a superstar, but he's a true freshman. Like, what is your expectation from him to step up in a big game? He's going to make plays, but at the same time, there'll be moments where he looks like a freshman. So I'm looking at Miami as a whole, and I am doubting them, but as I say it and speak it into existence, I wonder if I shouldn't. Because I think across the board, they're just really good. Maybe they don't have some of the stars on offense that we're used to seeing. Maybe the playing isn't a wide open spread offense where we're used to seeing like a Texas Tech back in the day, Ohio State when it was Urban Meyer and guys like JT Barrett just slinging it around. Maybe because the offense doesn't look like that, I'm hesitant to think that they can beat Indiana or Oregon. But here's one thing I know. On the line of scrimmage, they'll be as good as anyone. That's where they make the game. That's where they try and win the battle. It begins at the line of scrimmage. So maybe I should stop sandbagging and realize Miami might actually win the national title. All right, we will look at the Peach Bowl, Indiana and Oregon preview. Who will take on Miami on the other side of cashing out?
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with you all night long from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, Sirius XM 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. In case you missed it, the Miami Hurricanes have punched their ticket to the national title game. 31-27, the win over the Ole Miss Rebels. We go over the total, and Miami covers the 3.5. How about that? I did not see them covering this game. And wow. What a performance by Carson Beck. I got to give him a lot of credit. I've criticized him a bunch here, but when they needed big plays, he stepped up. Now, there were moments where he threw the ball and it felt like it was going to get intercepted. However, does just enough, scores the game-winning touchdown, and Miami wins 31-27. That means they will take on the winner of the Peach Bowl in Atlanta. You've got Indiana, the best story in sports, the best coaching job we've ever seen. Kurt Cignetti, the turnaround of a program that I'm not sure a lot of us even knew existed for a very long time. There were years in college football where they didn't make a noise. There wasn't a whimper from Bloomington. And now they're not just the best team, but they're the best run program in all of college football, looking like it's sustainable. It's going to be year after year after year of this. Cignetti said to Google him when he was hired. Well, when you Google him in a couple weeks, he's hoping it says national champion next to that page on Google. They're taking on a Oregon team that they've already beaten. And I find it very difficult to beat the same team twice. I'm very simplistic. I'm pretty basic in that regard. I think that beating the same team twice is very hard, especially a conference team. Now you're going to a neutral site. And while you went to their building and did it, they also now know the formula that you want to use to take them down. Market has the Hoosiers laying 3.5. The total is 48.5. I have bet against Indiana a couple times now, and I'm being a bit reactionary. I would lay it with them here. I'm not going to. I'm not getting to the window with a bet on them in this game because it feels like a too reactionary bet. It feels like I'm just relying on all this data that I've looked at where I've been wrong over and over again and said, you know what? I don't know how to rate this team properly. And at the same point in time, I think Oregon is every bit as good. I know people don't really see that, but Oregon, for some reason, they lose to Indiana and they get no credit for what they did in Happy Valley earlier in the season. When they went to Penn State, they took down the Nittany Lions, and that was the beginning of the end for James Franklin. They essentially started, James Franklin's going to get fired, and he followed it up with a bad performance at UCLA. But don't get it twisted. Oregon started that. Oregon, in a don't-blink overtime game, found a way to be on top of them, and I think they're ready for the moment. Dan Lanning's been in these games before. He's been in a lot of big games. Now, he's come up on the wrong side of a lot of those big games, but he can learn. He can learn, and we'll see how this one goes. Some trends from Steve Mackinnon over at VSiN.com that were interesting. Oregon on a 13-5-1 against the spread run versus teams that outscore opponents by more than 15 points a game. They're 5-1-1 against the spread versus teams ranked better than them in the AP poll. Indiana's on a 7-1 ATS run versus defenses that allow fewer than 20 points per game. And the Hoosiers are 10-1 covering the number in their last 11 tries versus teams that average 7.5 yards per attempt or more. Looking at the injury report, one concerning addition that came out today, Oregon running back Noah Whittington, questionable. That's big because Jordan Davison already ruled out for this one. Wide receiver Evan Stewart still not coming back from injury here. He's already been ruled out. But they've got tons of skill guys. They've got a lot of speed. But Whittington would be a big miss. They have a deep running back field. They have a lot of options to choose from, diverse group of dudes. But Whittington's a guy, I really like the way he runs the football. So we'll see what happens if he's able to give it a go. Trying to run against a defense for Indiana that, by the way, is second in the nation in run defense. They're 18th defending the pass. On the other side, Oregon, they are 19th against the run. They are 4th against the pass, which is interesting because it's Fernando Mendoza taking on that defense for Oregon. You've got Dante Moore on the other side. It's a battle of two guys that could potentially go number one in the draft. I think it's wacky that Fernando Mendoza is like minus $4 or $5 to be the first pick in the draft. Dante Moore, talent-wise, is a special talent. Now, whether it can look the way you need it to look to be the number one pick, I think he's absolutely capable of testing when some of these teams talk to him, when they bring him in for private workouts. He's also younger than Mendoza by a few years. I don't think it's a home run, a lock that Mendoza is going to be the number one pick coming up in the draft here. But let's hear from Kurt Cignetti, who it was pointed out to him during a press conference. He gets caught not smiling very much and was asked about that earlier.
No, that's not right. I mean, there's a lot of times I am happy, I just don't show I'm happy. And if I'm going to ask my players, right, to play the first game, first play, to play 150 the same, regardless of the competitive circumstances, then I can't be seen on the sideline, right, high-fiving people and celebrating, or what's going to happen, right? What's the effect going to be, right? So that's why I am like I am during the game. Plus, I got to make important decisions to manage the game. These decisions we have to make in terms of game management, when to use timeout, when not to use timeout, whether to be aggressive in 2 minutes, right? I had to use a timeout on defense that I called against Alabama on 4th and 1, right? And it ended up being a pretty big sequence, you know. So you got to be dialed in and thinking ahead. You know, I'll smile and celebrate later in the coach's room with the coaches, you know, maybe have a beer. Of course, in the playoffs, you got to do 9 or 10 different press conferences after the game. So that's about an hour and a half later. You know, people ask, do you ever get to enjoy this? And last week I asked Jeff Cake, I said, we just won the game and I got 10 press conferences I got to do after the game. When am I going to enjoy this? So no, I do smile and I am happy at times.
Look, he's right. Like on the sideline, he's got to keep his composure. He's got to be stoic. He's got to be clear headed. So, I mean, him not smiling, keep doing that, Kurt. It's the best coaching job we've ever seen. I want to go back to the last time these two teams met, because it was 30-20 game in Eugene. And, you know, going for it backfired on Dan Lanning. First series of the game, he failed, set up an Indiana field goal. They went up 3-0. Oregon scored a touchdown on a pick six. And the Ducks' offense wasn't very good. Dante Moore threw 2 picks, 186 pass yards, and he was sacked 6 times. So I think Indiana's looking to dial up some of that pressure, trying to get after Moore, force him into making bad decisions. But if you're looking to bet Indiana, it's because you think Dan Lanning's going to try to go for it on fourth down over and over again, and that could come back to bite him in the you-know-what. So that's why you bet on Indiana. That's why that would be my lean in this matchup, to lay it with the favorite in this role. But I would not be shocked if Oregon wins. That's why I'm completely staying away. I do not have a feel for how this is going to shake out at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Dan Lanning, 2-2 against the spread, 3-1 to the under in bowl games. He's 5-1 to the under as an underdog. He's 23-15 against the spread in conference, and he's 4-1 covering the number when revenging a loss. Cignetti, 16-8 against the spread, 15-9 to the over as a favorite, 7-2 against the spread as a favorite of 3.5-10, and 4-2 to the under when the total's between 42.5 and 49. I'd consider the under 48.5, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get there. Let's hear from Dante Moore, the quarterback of the Ducks, who discussed facing Fernando Mendoza once again.
I got to give, you know, Fernando his credit. I mean, he's had a hell of a year. He's had some great years. This is our third time playing against each other. He played at UCLA this year, and it's our third time. And he's somebody that, you know, works his tail off. It's things that, of course, you know, we prayed for. I mean, at the end of the day, when I started football at 4 years old, you know, everybody's goal is to get to the, you know, National Football League. But yeah, it's gonna be all these, you know, things going on. I'm human. I see it on social media. But I told myself that I shouldn't be engaged with it, because if I do, I'm thinking about myself and I'm not thinking about the 10 other guys on the field with me. So I got to make sure that I give them my 100% love and attention, because without them, I wouldn't be in my, you know, situation right now. So I'm thankful for my teammates, and, you know, it's going to be a great game. And when I see Fernando again, we talk after the game, whatever we do. I mean, I'm just glad, you know, I got to play against him.
That's a cool story. You know, with them playing each other, UCLA and Cal, now they're on a bigger stage. It kind of shows the positive side of the transfer portal. If you're at a program where you believe that you can show up, play, get some experience, but that program's not going to contend for national titles, that program's not capable of paying you what you can earn on the free market, well, you can go somewhere and you can do both. You can make more money and you can contend and win a national title and then also potentially be the top 2 picks in the NFL draft the next year. That's the positive side of the portal. Dante Moore, although Troy Aikman would disagree, and Fernando Mendoza and their stories and how they ended up here. And I'm ready for this game, man. If you're forcing me, I'd lay the 3.5. If you're forcing me, I'd go under. Those are the two plays I'd consider. But again, my Indiana bet is completely reactionary to being wrong about them every single step of the way. Like I am so annoyed at myself. I bet them last year to win the title at like 150-1. Didn't have anything big on them this year. I bet the win total. That was it. I think it was 8.5 wins. Bet the win total over. But I did not imagine they would actually build even more on what they did a year ago. Head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro, get instant access to everything that you need to make informed bets every day. Sign up now. That's daily best bets from every show, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, the prop tools powered by Opta AI, plus 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app. Get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. How will the Peach Bowl go and what are the best plays for Wild Card Weekend? We'll discuss next.